I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
So this evening on the Drag Champ Show, we're going to be a little more politically correct. We're going to be, you know, minding our P's and Q's. Actually, we're probably not going to be, but Scott Woodruff, most of you know him as Woody. Looks like he is in his Ohio office and not the Florida office this time of year, but
Florida.
He's going to join us this weekend. And one of the guys that not necessarily has done it inside of a race car or owning a race car, and technically he kind of owns the race cars. If they go and they, the guy that separates all of the funding and sponsorship and PR and social media and everything at Jegs High Performance. Woody, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I couldn't be any better. You know, I really couldn't. I'm relaxed. I'm, you know, hanging out, having a good time. I'm not sunburnt from head to toe. I'm cooked. Yeah, I'm not well.
You're roasted.
He spent the weekend in Texas, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're not quite getting all the bright sun up here every day in Ohio. So it's supposed to be 81, so that means it might just snow 2 or 3 days after that still. But yeah, no, I'm here in Ohio enjoying it.
They were all making fun of me. They were saying, "Oh yeah, you're sunburned. Oh, that'll feel good in a few days. You'll be fine." I'm like, the problem is when I go back to Indiana and it's cold. It's really cold then. They don't know, Woody. They're not from here.
No, it's this time of year, it's definitely a roller coaster.
It's the end of April, guys.
Yeah.
It's the end of April. It's time for shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops, right, Ryan?
Pants in like 2 months.
Yeah, since the freeze. That was it, right? The pants go away after
when
that.
When it snowed in Texas and then like the weekend, like the day after it snowed, it was 70. I'm like, okay, the jeans go in the closet now. Shorts come back out.
Nice.
We'll break them out in like December. You're breaking britches back, long britches back out, right?
Oh yeah.
Woody, you're at front and center of this explosion of big money bracket racing. You are kind of presenting everything everywhere through Jegs as much as you can. Where did that start, and kind of how fast did that become? Like, that was like literally a snowball rolling down a hill. I mean, that it is huge right now. And Jegs is a part of everywhere you look from the Jegs.
I can say this, like, you know, last year, you know, 2020, obviously COVID hit. We all know that. But the races that had the most success were sportsman races and bracket racing, period, because neither one of them rely on fans. You know, their business model doesn't rely on fans. So they didn't skip a beat. You know, in the way that races are put on, but then you had a lot of supply. You know, you had a lot of demand where people wanted to get out and race. They wanted to get out and race, you know, really, we want to be where our customers are. We want to support the things that they enjoy doing, and thankfully, as a company, you know, our four owners that own Jegs, they all love to race. Period, you know, and they grew up in the sport and love it. But as far as Jegs, you know, really, you know, 15% of our business is racing related. The rest is street performance. You know, go faster, look better, perform better. That's our guy or gal. So, you know, the bracket racing is, you know, the allure of big money, the idea of you know, making a lot of runs, making laps, not getting pushed to the side, you know, all those things are real positive, you know, and we can see the growth I don't want to say number wise, but when I talk to people, you know, I hear a lot of positive things about bracket racing, different experiences that they're having at different races, different tracks, different venues, you know. I think, you know, for years, as we all know, like the million was the million, you know. Well, now I think there's 4 millions, you know. So
we're cutting that back. There's now two.
Oh, there is? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we cut it back.
But you know, I mean, it's I don't know. Every time I hadn't been to a bracket race in probably, you know, a big bracket race, maybe 06 or 05. I think it was 06. We went to Bristol. Jeg was racing there. And Jeg and I talked a couple of our fraternity brothers into coming. And, you know, we rented a fifth wheel and they left it there for us. And we had a ball. And then for me to come back and, like, I went to the Fling in Vegas, saw Gary. And, you know, that's really the first big race that I'd been to since 06, physically.
Well, let's talk about that RV, though. There was a little furniture moving, I understand, with that RV.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had a good time. We took all the couches out. We took all the chairs out. Undrill the stuff. Take it out. We had our own little patio outside, and we had a large time. We put it all back together and amazingly hungover probably on Sunday and never got a letter with another invoice or anything. So not like getting a rental car letter that says you can never rent from us again. But
Is that a thing?
Well, you know, I've seen a couple of those. It's been a couple of years, but I've seen some. And they normally happen to bracket races. I'm not going to lie.
So do you get to do that, have that much fun at the NHRA races, at the Nationals? It's a little more uptight.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Who's harder on rental cars, Jegs or Brett Kepner?
Ooh, I don't know. I haven't seen Brett. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I only know one side of that coin, so...
I do know one of the live feeds Brett did with Clay Milliken. He was talking about, you know, I can tell you which insurance policies you do and don't want to purchase whenever you're renting a rental car. He said, I have used all of them to the max.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure he has. And that was back in the day. You know, we've had Jeg Sr. tell us stories and stories about just the way it used to be. You know, I'm talking like 70s and 80s and it was a lot different landscape than it is today.
Yeah. That's back where they used to rebuild the engines of those top fuelers and stuff in the parking lot of the motels and
washed the parts out of the bathroom. I mean, I remember talking to Rick Stewart. I asked him one time, I'm like, you know, what do you do with how do you get all this stuff off you? You know, all the black rubber. He's like, oh, you know, well, you know, it starts off, I use every single towel, all the soap, and the rental car's destroyed. You know, he just went through a whole list of stuff. And I, you know, he definitely had a process and made a lot of stuff black when he was done. But funny stuff.
Yeah, you stand on that start line for a weekend eating all that clutch dust and top fuel stuff. Yeah, that's got to be nasty.
That's a little rough. That's a little rough. But no, we really do like the bracket racing. I think, you know, I know Jeggy, for example, his, you know, if you were to ask him one trophy that he thinks is the most important trophy to him, he's going to tell you it's his 5-day championship.
Did he get a clock?
He's got a clock.
Yeah.
But it's the only trophy in his trophy case. It's on in his trophy deal. It's got on its own pedestal, which is pretty cool. I mean, he's got, he moved out of that house, but where that was, you know, he had the, when he carried the torch, you know, that's on the wall behind it, a bunch of championship trophies around it, but that's the only one on a pedestal. So
I've been to Underwood's house and seen two clocks.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a pair.
Yeah. And I said, Kenny, I said,
and probably neither one of them are wound up.
No. And I said, Kenny, when's the last time you wound one of those up? And he said, I really forgot they were there.
I'm sure that he did.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
He's won once or twice in his lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Kenny, the internet tech support website manager on the road.
Yes. Yes.
What I want to know from the Jeg side of things, is it an obvious – can you see it obviously whenever Jeggy does well in the pro stock car, used to do well in the pro stock car on Monday morning, like he used to sell a – you know, win on Sunday, sell a car on Monday, or sell on Monday. Is that still a thing? Or does it seem to not really matter anymore?
It doesn't wait till Monday, you know. I mean, I can tell you, I go through the coverage on TV every Monday. I typically start around 10 or 11 if I'm not in Delaware. If I'm in my home office, I'm watching stuff. Otherwise, I do it on Tuesdays. But I go through and write down what times that we have, you know, really good exposure, or if there's in-car cam stuff, or if, you know, there's we win or whatever. I can take these blocks of time, and then I can go back to our IT department and say, hey, show me what our you know, show me what our interaction looks like. Show me how many clicks that we're getting during this time period. And you can see it, you know, plain as day. And I know that we're not running ads and we're not paying, you know what I mean? So it's, I've always tried to, you know, the biggest audience that there is on TV or on the internet, but TV specifically. And that's, you know, I've always tried to kind of focus my attention with the TV group on site, you know, because traditionally, I'm probably kind of getting off on a tangent here, but I had a guy, Jeff Wolf, years ago. You know, he was a writer. He did PR, ran a track, and kind of took me under my wing or under his wing early on. And he was a guy that I could go to and ask a lot of questions. Excuse me. And he, you know, he said it to me like this once, and I'll never forget. He said, you know, look at the local sports page. You know, we're here in Vegas. He wrote for the Vegas Review Journal at the time, and said, less than 5% of this sports page is going to be devoted to the race. And of that 5%, half of it is going to be the local guy or gal. And then you've got the rest, you know, 2.5% that you got 45 PR people fighting over, you know, and that's number one qualifiers. That's, you know, somebody that blows up, whatever, you know. So the moral to that story was I always kind of looked at what's the local angle, you know, how can we, you know, everybody wants to follow the local guy. So, you know, worked really hard to kind of find local angles and did other stuff. Like when we had a chef, you know, I mean, I wore out the food sections and papers and the editors, because, you know, I could call them and say, hey, you know, this is Woody with Jags, and, you know, we've got a professional commercial grade kitchen that travels with our race team. We'd love to have you come out. What? You know, and you start telling them, oh, we've got a Wolf range and we've got this. And, you know, now all of a sudden they're not picturing hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, and then when they come out, they're blown away. And I didn't have any other competition at the time. There weren't any other chefs, you know. So
whose idea was it to stop that? Was it Sam's?
No.
Okay.
No, I think Nikki just wanted to do something else, really. So he really just wanted to try something else. And he kind of dove into the NASCAR stuff and realized that was pretty hard. And, you know, but still to this day, if I go to Bristol, if I go to a cup race or I go to an IndyCar race and see somebody, you know, different riders that I don't deal with all the time, and, you know, they'll talk about a recipe of the week that we used to send out to like national media that we'd have Nikki do, you know, and these guys are talking about that. They could give two shits about our racing, but they wanted to talk about the food, you know, which is fine. I'm good. Whatever, you know, but it's really just kind of trying to be creative, I guess, you know, but I guess, Gary, to your point, yeah, we do see a lot of success. When we have success on the track, we definitely have success at Jags.
So are you more interested in using racing to reach that enthusiast or the racer themselves or both?
I think racing, you know, in my opinion, you know, I look at my job is to fill somebody's head with pixels. And each one of those pixels has a Jags logo. If I can have any of those moments part of your five senses, you're going to have a better time remembering it, you know. I don't know. Nobody knows when you're going to make a purchasing decision. I just want to be involved with it, you know. I just want to be somebody that you think of. I want people to think of Jags, you know, when they think of parts, or they want wheels, they want tires, they want exhaust, they want gauges, they want engines, whatever. I just want them to think of Jags, you know. You know, as far as our brand has been very powerful in drag racing, because that's where the family's passion is. That's where the business started. You know, I say all the time, Jags, the business, you know, it just started from passion. period, you know, and it became infectious. So, you know, I just got done bringing some guys through, through JEGS last week that were just blown away and had no idea, like, the technical side of everything. You know, they pictured somebody just going up on a forklift and, you know, grabbing something, checking it off, coming back down, handing it to somebody, putting it in a box, you know. Well, it's far from that. You know, we've got an automated retrieval system. We've got, you know, three level flow rack system. We've got a large V&A racking area, you know, and this is all in 225,000 square feet in Delaware, Ohio. You know, it was built in 2000.
Yeah. It's like bypass JEGS.
Yeah.
I've got the cool behind the scenes tour one time, and I got a cool tour of the race shop. For those of the people that don't get to see the race shop, please explain to them why the pond glows yellow.
Why the what?
Why the pond glows yellow.
I don't know.
Yeah. No what idea, huh?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. What's at the bottom of the pond in the race shop?
I have no idea.
There was a car or something that had given one of them trouble, right? And they just sank it. They said, we're over it. There is yellow.
I don't know if it ever went in there. Parts of it might have.
There's for sure something, because on a real clear day, I could see a roof of yellow. Maybe it's just the body.
Oh, it might have been. Yeah.
Maybe one of them got crashed or something. I don't remember, but
I know Troy. This is probably the car. It was a GTO.
Yep.
In Pro Mod that he hit the wall in, and I had it all chopped up and sitting on casters, to be honest. You know, I had it where I had the great idea, this is going to be a cool simulator. So we cut the back half off, cut in front of the firewall off, put four casters on it. And I was thinking we'd just put a big TV in there. It'd be a cool display. And I think Jeg Sr. wasn't very happy with the fact of a smash car being in the shop. And I was on the West Coast swing, and I was told when I came back, it was no longer there. So I'm sure he told somebody to chop it up and get rid of it. So that probably why I didn't know that all of it went in there.
Out of all of the cars upstairs, which one's your favorite?
Ooh, wow.
Because there's a lot of history through JEGS on top of the shelf at the race shop. Kind of give people an idea of what, because you guys don't get rid of race cars, really. They just hang around.
For the most part. I mean, if the kind of the rule of thumb in the family is if you win a championship, you keep the car, you know? So obviously, Jaggy's got a fair amount of cars. Troy didn't keep his Pro Mod championship or his Pro Street championship car. I don't know. Probably my favorite car. Wow.
I did just text TJ and I said, there's a car in the bottom of the pond, right? And he said, yeah, my dad's GTO has some chopped up pieces in the bottom of the pond.
Yeah. All right. See, like I said, I was on the West Coast swing. But when
damn,
the right
Woody,
guys,
I thought she knew everything at Jags.
Listened and they chopped it up
in the most PG way possible. It was a messed up car, so we said mess it, yeet.
Yeah.
TJ.
I don't know. Probably I. You know, the Barracuda is pretty cool. The funny car, that Jag Seniors that we redid. That's really cool. I don't know. Mikey's got a Corvette up there, a twin turbo Lingenfelder, like a 03 convertible. And that thing's wicked fast. And I only know that because I drove it to the Woodward Dream Cruise years ago. Driving down 23 at like 75 miles an hour, went to pass somebody and stood on it. And the rear of this car just freaking goes straight out. I was like, hey, this isn't my car. You know, I don't want to bend this thing up. That would really suck.
But after all they put me through, hold on a minute.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, the coolest vehicle that we're going to have is going to be that ramp truck when we get it done.
Now we're
speaking cool. My language.
Yeah, that thing is it's pretty sweet. I mean, it's, you know, it's been a project. We've had it in a couple of people's hands, and then we finally said, no, let's us finish it. That's the only way it's going to get done.
Then Beeb said, damn it.
Oh, yeah. He stayed away from it remarkably. Pretty much Mike Reese has been the one that's been working on it. Him and Mike Coughlin. This thing's like a 1960 Dodge B60, I think is maybe what it is. This thing is going to be bagged suspension. It's got, it's going to use the front end from a 2003 Suburban, because it was easy to find all the A-arms and all that kind of stuff. But Mike Reese made this unbelievable engine cradle that this thing sits in. I mean, it's just a work of art. Before the engine, it's a bummer because when you put the engine in it, you can't see everything. But but that thing, I mean, it's big, you know, and I just have visions of, you know, putting a pro stock car on this thing.
That'd be sweet.
Going to a national event, running pro stock out of this thing in the pit area. Just saying, this is us, you know.
I was thinking about the wagon being on it and going to a bracket.
Wagon's cool. Something. Yeah, but he said upstairs. It doesn't spend much time upstairs. There's, you know, we even have TJ's first dragster there, his first junior dragster.
Oh, yep. Gosh.
His dad found that thing. I mean, it's vintage, like stock 5 horsepower Briggs & Stratton, big, ugly, you know.
Senior got it back and then started cussing at it just like he used to, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I think somehow our painter ended up with it, and his son, or J.R. Hill, maybe his grandson did, and then he grew out of it. So he asked Troy if he wanted it back, and Troy said, yeah, paint it up the way it used to be for TJ. Give it to him for Christmas. So
now y'all are a sentimental group, man. When I'm done with a race car, off it goes and on to something new.
Yeah, yeah.
But also don't have a 225,000 square foot facility to keep them in either. Oh,
that's just the warehouse.
It's not that big. It's like 30.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Yeah, downstairs. Yeah. Yeah. The race shop's laid out pretty very user friendly.
Back to rigging,
Jake. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, back when we had all the pro stock and pro stock truck engines there, you know, we had one room that was nothing but, it was a CNC machine, did nothing but pit tops of pistons, and then we had two engine assembly rooms, a dyno room, just, it was always humping. So since then we took out some walls that opened up the shop and made it easier to get cars underneath in these bays that we've got. You know, we've got Cody's circle track, you know, his late model stuff in there, and a lot of fab stuff. Like, I thought that we had everything that you could want in a shop until I saw invoices for fab equipment showing up, and, you know, huge cutting shears, and I don't know.
That was one of my questions. How much do you despise circle track racing?
It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. Now, I don't particularly enjoy going, you know, just, you know, if you ever want to go to a race and you just don't go to the Coke 600. It's way too long.
It's a long time.
It's forever. Like, we were guests of Coke, and I shouldn't even say this, but we were like, trying to figure out how we could peel out before the end of the race, you know.
What, you mean Al Rondon didn't want you to peel out?
No, Al, this is before Al, but yeah, no, it's, I don't know, that it's a whole different deal. I mean, you know, obviously we've got friends at races and own teams and all that stuff, but not really my cup of tea. I guess I'm more into ADD racing, you know, which is drag racing.
Yep.
It's pretty simple, you know. If you don't pay attention to the first pair, you can pay attention to the second, maybe, you know, and then keep going.
The last time I went to a NASCAR race had to be in like the early 2000s. Went up to Fort Worth with my son, my oldest son, who was like, I don't know, 12 or 13 at the time, maybe. And he started dozing off during the middle of the race. Like, we're under the turn four canopy, so it's just noise rattling through there, rattling the rafters of that place. I see him, you know, nodding off, falling asleep. So I kick him and laugh at him a little bit. Like, 5 minutes later, he's doing the same to me. I've done fall asleep just watching this thing. Like, is it over yet? Every time to go, keep going in circles.
Bristol, the night race is a good one to go to. You know, obviously it used to be a lot bigger than it is today. You know, that says something about just motorsports in general. You know, at a professional level, that. You know, that used to be the hardest ticket in motorsports to get, was to that race at night. Yep. You know, and now you, Now you can walk up 30 minutes before and probably pick almost whatever section you want to sit in.
But what do you think caused that?
I guess if I had to put my finger on it, it would really be the fact that it's been done, you know, it's not new, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dirt thing that they did, I think that was cool. That garnered a lot of attention and still is. I think the World of Outlaws are there this weekend or right now, actually.
Last weekend, yeah.
Was it last weekend?
The sprint cars were.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of vanilla personalities in that, though. Everybody's gotten kind of – most people are so corporate because they want to protect their sponsor. They don't really show much emotion. And then nowadays, when they show a little bit, they get fined and, you know, all kind of other stuff. So, and I don't think that's just in NASCAR. I think it's in NHRA professional classes as well.
Well, I know, you look at Pro Stock, and I'm not trying to throw Greg under the bus, but – you know, when he said a lot of that stuff about Erica, about not wanting to be the first one that loses to her, I mean, he sealed his death when he said that. You know what I mean? He ended up being the first one that got beat by her. which, you know, and I know the guys at Summit were, I mean, Greg told me this, that they weren't real excited about him saying anything negative about her, you know?
Yeah, but I think you kind of have to.
On the flip side of that, I mean, they got a lot of attention for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the double-edged sword. You know, it's, you know, you can say just about anything you want to anybody on the top end. You can say whatever you want, but, you know, the minute you touch somebody, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
I like a little bit of the robbery or the, you know, with Greg and Erica, that's actually been fun to watch. And that was missing for a long time in that class.
Yeah. Yeah.
It got pretty boring.
It's a real good thing that nobody puts a mic on me because I get pretty wound up there. I mean, there's been times that we beat somebody that I don't really care for and I'll kind of stop what I'm doing and look over at the other team and mutter something, you know, since somebody got beat on a hole shot and ask them how it felt and, you know, and then just kind of walk away. And, There's a couple people that know that when they happen to see it on TV, you know, I instantly start getting text messages or my wife says, hey, I saw it. I could hear you. You know, I heard you say fuck, you know, or whatever, you know, I'm like, yeah.
What is it? Every now and then you just got to say what the fuck?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It slipped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The first F-bomb episode did not come from Ryan Gleckhorn.
I was about to point that out.
Well, I did get one last text message from somebody that we had already brought up and said, sometimes you just got to say what the fuck.
That's it, man. That is it.
Said it gives you freedom.
It does. I mean, it's a verb, it's an adjective, it's a noun, it's a pronoun. I mean, we can keep going.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say something about Pro Stock, though, but with Freeman coming in the last handful of years or whatever they've been doing it now, it's probably more than that, and just all the personalities that class got a lot more interesting to me just because of the personalities. Whereas, like I said, I think that's what some of the other classes might be missing.
Yeah.
Richard Freeman could help. He could motivate Helen Keller.
I think you're right, actually. And he could teach her probably he could definitely teach her a thing or two. He has a very unique way of motivating people. But I'm amazed at how he's got so many talented people working together. And honestly, it's as close to like the feeling that I get when I come in the pit area on Friday morning or Thursday. It feels exactly like it did when Jag and John and Troy and Mike were all racing together. I mean, it just,
that's been some years.
It's been some years.
Pro Stock truck days.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, yeah, we were like the Ark. Everything came in twos. He is, he's a very aggressive guy. He's very compassionate. You know, I can tell you, I think it was, I don't know what year it was, like maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. We were in Houston and we had an oil fire in our kitchen where my wife, my girls were cooking French beignets and started an oil fire and everybody's in underwear and t-shirts on a Sunday. And They yelled up for my wife, and she came downstairs and, you know, grabbed the oil, told them to get out of the house, grabbed the oil, and was first thought was to take it outside. And she ended up grabbing it, slipping and falling and dumping it all on her legs. So I'm in Houston, my phone, and I do not, if your phone number, if your name is not in my phone, I don't answer it, period. I don't care who it is. But this person just kept calling and calling and calling and calling. And my wife was telling, it was our new neighbor from across the street. And she was trying to have him call me. And, long story short, you know, they obviously, my wife got severely burned. My daughter Sadie, who ice skates, ran through the house. When she heard Jennifer scream, she burned her feet. And, I was late for a meeting and walked into the trailer, closed door meeting that I was supposed to be in. And I mean, I looked right at Jag and I said, "Hey, I got to get the fuck out of here. I got to leave now. Like, Jennifer just got burned." And without hesitation, Mark Stockseth is like, he says, "I'll have a jet here for you in a half an hour to take you where you need to be." And, you know, typical Richard, he's like, "Fuck that. Brett's here now. My plane's here. He's taking you now." And I was in the air in 20 minutes out of Baytown, you know, and, that says something about the type of person that Richard Freeman is. You know, he may be pretty brash at times and big and bad, but he's a really big teddy bear.
Can you give me a rundown, a shortened version of what he says to Erica before he shuts her door every time? Because
fuck it up. That's what he said. Don't fuck this up. That's pretty much his standard word. Don't fuck this up, you know. I swear, it's funny. Like, he did it to TJ testing, and TJ said he just lost it laughing. You know, because he always wondered what he said.
Found out firsthand, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like, we've all, you know, going back to Richard, I mean, we vacationed together. We all went down to the Caymans together, our families. You know, Jag and Sam, just a whole bunch of us. So, you know, last year we all rented a big house and I don't know where, Broken Bow, I think it was, and had a ball there. We brought our dog and drove down there so that we could bring the dog. But yeah, I mean, that says something, I guess, because, you know, we're around each other so much that we still want to be around each other and have fun, you know. And I mean, we've done some crazy stuff. We've had, you know, we showed up and we had that Dodge program. We showed up to preseason testing with one engine and put the second one together like the second night of testing, you know, and came to Pomona with two engines. And
that didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't.
Maybe you got to take a photo shoot with the elephant.
The what?
You got the photo shoot with the elephant out of that. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It didn't quite work out the way I wanted. I wanted the elephant to be walking down the staging lanes, like behind the cars, and like somebody behind it, like the Clydesdales, picking up shit.
I was gonna say, didn't that top field team dump shit on the start line at Indy one year? The utter people, utter something.
Yeah, who was that?
The cow car.
Utter nonsense or whatever.
They disappeared after that, I think.
Yeah, they did. They got fined. I think
NHRA had a way of making them go away.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Brett Fanning, that's who it was.
Yeah.
That was my next question. What's the best, worst PR nightmare you have to be involved with so far today?
Best one?
The best, worst. Like, it was really bad, but the PR you got out of it was pretty good.
Oh. That's a tough one.
There's nothing you can think back about and just cringe and be like, I wish that didn't happen.
No, not really. Not really, because somehow we've always ended up smelling like a rose.
You alluded pre-show that you and Jaggy went to high school and college together. You guys were fraternity brothers.
Yeah, I've known him since sixth grade.
Tell me about Rote.
Rote?
Yeah.
How do you know about Rote?
Just answer the question.
Rote's a good guy. Yeah. He's our spirit animal. No, he's a great guy. He's you know, one of those guys. There's like myself, Jag, Jim Rote, Jay Roberts, and Doug Daniel, the five of us. I mean, we've got a text string going all the time. And I can honestly say, like, life would be different had I not known those guys, not met them. Now, Jack didn't get to have as much fun as we did in college because he had classes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and went racing Friday through Monday. But yeah, man, he's a good dude.
I heard there's some stories involved.
There's always stories involved. Yeah.
Give us one good Jeggy and maybe we'll go to college years. Cause like, that's kind of like past the statue of,
limitations.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
I just want to hear, cause I know I've heard a lot of like Jeg being in wedding parties and having a great time. I want to know something about Jeg that didn't happen at a racetrack or around racing family friends, because he is a great time, especially now that he's really kind of just chilled back from the pro stuff. Now he really does not care.
No, you know what? He has, him and I have been childhood friends since sixth grade. And when he's at work, he's a different person. Yeah. He's very, very, very focused, just like how he is in the race car. Now, when he gets out of the race car and out of work, he's a different person, you know? I can't really think of anything. When I think of Rote and racing, I think of, TJ when he won his first race and I talked his dad into him hanging out with me at SEMA, that I'd keep a good eye on him. It just so happened that he won his first race. I think, what was that? 2009. I think he was like 19. And TJ still says to this day, his best night ever was hanging out with me and Rote and another guy, Steve. And I mean, we had a large time. We celebrated pretty hard because we knew that we had Monday to recover before Tuesday at SEMA. But, I just can't think of anything specifically on Jeg personally, but
we'll let you come back to that. That's just being a good friend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know. I could write a book, but I never will.
So what's it like hiding all the secrets from the kids and the brothers and all them? I know the young kids come to you for advice before they go to their dad or
they have. That's pretty funny. I mean, and I think I told you in Vegas, it's like they in the shop, I've got an all glass wall on one side with a glass door and my door is always open. And, I would say out of the 12 grandkids, I think six of them have walked through, shut the door, and I have my back because my computer's around the back and with my back to the door. And they'll come in and be like, "Hey, like, what's up? Nothing. What'd you shut the door for?" "Oh, nothing." "Oh, okay. Well, what do you think my mom and dad would say about this?" And they just goes, and they all know it isn't going to go any further, because of the relationship of, their dad and their uncles have all told them that it's not, you're just not going to hear anything, you're in the safe tree, when you're talking to Uncle Woody. So.
Forgive me for Brian Lones intruding on our podcast.
That's okay.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's allowed.
Yeah. But I feel like that probably puts you in a spot sometimes, because I'm sure Jeg has said stuff to you and you're like, "Whew, not saying that ever again."
It's that's part of trust,
Absolutely.
Part of the relationship. And it's not something that, that's something that's earned. So, yeah. And to be, I'm very happy that I have that trust. I've worked with these guys for 23 years and, I've driven the motorhomes down the road. I've done all that stuff. So, I kind of have a rule of thumb I don't ask somebody to do something that I wouldn't do myself. And, Jeg Sr.'s been a great mentor along with a couple others. I could tell there is a really funny story if you want to hear it.
I live for this.
Well, this is when we had the Pro Stock cars. We didn't have the trucks, so I don't know what year it would have been, but
back when we had the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it was definitely Cavaliers for sure. But we had a Ness Cavalier and two Bickle Cavaliers, I think. And the Ness one hadn't been run. And we had guys in the shop that were like, hey, we need to run that. We need to run that. And this is all going on when Senior's down in Florida. And so Senior and I are talking, and he's like, you know, we probably ought to just why don't you guys just put that car upstairs and just cover it up. Let's just get it out of everybody's mind. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll get it done. So, yeah, I think I probably got off the phone with him and walked out of the shop. And I think I asked Rick to help me, and he said, yeah, can we do it tomorrow? You know, I'm in the middle of something. Said, yeah, no problem. We'll do it tomorrow. Well, he ended up going to a funeral the next day. So then the third day, you know, I said, hey, how about that car? Why don't you help me get it upstairs? And he's like, all right, we'll do it after lunch. I'm like, that's fine. And so after lunch came, and, you know, here's Rick. I mean, he worked for Jegs for 45 years, 40 something years. And this is like, this is something I wouldn't do now, but this just proves like the older you get, the wiser you are. So I'm like, you know, I said to him, I said, hey, when are we going to move this car upstairs? And he just looks at me, you know, solvent all over. He goes, you want me to stop what I'm doing right now? I said, I want you to stop what you're doing right fucking now. And he drops all the shit. I mean, solvent all over me, all over him. And he just walks right over to his fucking toolbox, locks the door, and walks out the door. And I'm like, fuck. You know, I'm like, oh, shit, man. So I start calling him. He's not answering my calls. Doesn't want to talk. Leave him a message. Give me a call. So I decide, well, I'm going to go in the office. I'm going to call Senior and kind of maybe just not tell him what happened, but maybe get some advice from him. It was my game plan. Well, I didn't know that Roy Simmons, the whole time that this is going on, Roy is actually talking to Jeg Senior and overheard the whole fucking thing, you know? So I call up and he's like, hey, how's it going? Man, having such a great day. You having a good day? You know? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Well, what's going on? What can I help you with? You know? And he's just fucking baiting me big time. So I said, well, I got this problem. He goes, well, what is it? I told him, you know, and he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I said, I've called him a couple of times. He won't call me back, you know? I said, maybe he might just drive over to his house. And, you know, obviously Rick ended up coming back, but, but like just that guy has, Jeg Senior has the ability to not be in the room and still know what happened, you know? I mean, it's like he can be away from the business for, let's say, months, if not years at a time, walk through the door half hour before he meets the guys for lunch and probably know just about everything that's happening there. You know, kind of cool. But
and when did he step away from some of the day to day and the boys take over?
Was that
the 90s?
The boys bought the business with his assistance in the late 80s, I think like 88, 86, something like that. But, you know, he's always a phone call away. He's a great sounding board. He's probably the one person that has this ability that I know that can break down these complex situations into little simple tasks. And like when you get done talking to him about something like that, like something that you think is so complex and you can't figure it out, I mean, half the time you just feel like you're an idiot. Like, I knew that answer. You know, why did I just embarrass myself by calling him? You know?
And he's what, late 80s right now?
No, he's like, nah, 84. 84.
Yeah, and he's still sharp as a tack, right? I mean, he's still very sharp. Yeah.
He is very sharp.
Very tan.
Very tan.
The Florida sun's treated him well for the last 10 years.
Yeah, he doesn't like golf. That's the one thing. You know, I mean, he'll play every once in a while, but he's, you know, he's told me numerous times how, like, everybody down there just plays golf and complains. And no, I don't have anybody I can really talk to about cars. So a lot of times he'll call Ed Fetter, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll go out to lunch, and I mean, what'll turn into like an hour lunch turns into like a half a day, and you know, then they're having a good time, you know, talking about race car stuff. And I mean, that's he truly does, as an individual, he truly does have a gift with racing. I mean, it's, you know, if you look at racing in general, you know, it appeals to a lot of entrepreneurs. You know, these are people that own businesses and take risks Monday through Friday. You don't just turn that off on the weekends, you know? So I think that that's why racing tends to really, you know, people gravitate to the racing because, you know, I tell people all the time, it's competitive problem solving. That's all that it is. You know, everybody's got the same blackboard with nothing on it. And my way to get down the track could be totally different than Ryan's, and totally different than Jake's, and totally different than Gary's, you know. And I can't take 25% of each one of our ideas and expect it to work because it doesn't work.
Yep. I can tell you, he was a proud papa when Jakey moved into pro stock and just started dominating from pretty much the first race he ran. And I mean, every time you'd see his dad, he was definitely – that meant a lot, I guess, because – they'd been sports and racers since he had quit Top Fuel, you know, and yep. They moved right into pro stock and just started dominating. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, Jaggy had a, you know, if you step back and look at it, you know, he's a very analytical person and he's really, I don't want to say fell in love with the math of it, but, you know, he got to learn stuff from his three other brothers messing up races before he ever even got in the seat, you know? So I think that was a great advantage to him, you know, that he definitely capitalized on, you know, because it, you know, he always had the opinion that, you know, you can always win, you know, you just got to figure out why you didn't win and how you couldn't do it again, you know, how you can make sure that you don't lose the next time, you know?
I think it will be hard pressed to find somebody as impressive as Jake's career when he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, even to this point, if he called it quits today, I mean, it will be hard pressed to find somebody that did it in the diversity and the consistency that he did for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look at, you know, you look at stats, I mean, he's only qualified number one less than 30 times.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like 27. You know, I think
multiply that by four. That's how many whole shot wins he's had.
Yeah. He said multiply by four.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like he leads the entire sport. Yeah. Professional classes, which is crazy. But, you know, to that point, I mean, we've never had the powerful, the dominating horsepower ever. You know, I mean, there were races where we did, but not like the stretch at KB had, you know, when they basically went from everybody else at 10,000 and they're at like 11,200.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're all trying to catch up and they're still going, you know, but, and that was only because of Joe Hornick, you know, Joe Hornick had a Spintron machine at his house. And would just freaking wear this thing out. I mean, he was just the master of valve train, for lack of a better word, you know.
Yep. They used a lot of high-end metals and alloys and stuff like that too, wasn't it? Wasn't that where he stepped in and started limiting weights?
Anything else, you know?
What's that?
I
mean,
I think that was more folklore than anything else.
He was letting you look at this whenever it was really over here. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a pro stock thing.
Yeah, exactly. Put the towel over here.
Nope. Yeah, cover the intake.
Let somebody look. But the, you know, those, not taking anything away from the KB guys. They've done a great job, you know, for years. And, you know, it was, you know, great to have such a great rivalry with those guys, you know. I mean, there's really nobody I enjoyed seeing our cars beat more than them, you know.
Also, whenever you would look over at on the starting line and let them know about it. That
he was one, but you know, there were other guys. Dave Conley was one. I'm not, you know,
Dave.
I like Dave, but when he was in the car, he was a little cocky, but
the beer wars from the 80s, we had the mail order parts wars in pro stock.
Yeah. I mean, that's, look what happened with the beer thing. You know, when Budweiser left, didn't take long for Miller to leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes you try and justify yourself on why you're there. Now, you know, obviously Summit's kind of switched gears a little bit on what they're doing, but they're good competitors off the track.
Yeah, I think everybody needs a good competitor to keep them on their toes and have kind of a yardstick to measure against sometimes.
Yeah, and I think if we didn't have, you know, a competitor like Summit and others. I mean, you know,
Amazon. Jags would be Amazon.
Yeah. You know, then people would just, you know, they'd go to Bass Pro Shop, you know, and they wouldn't care about racing, you know.
That's right. Scott Bezos has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of figured that out. Didn't the guy start by selling books?
It's something. Oh.
Yeah, I look at that. That's an amazing, just, who would have known that a business like that, you know, and, you know, you take Amazon, you take Google, it's just, you just, there's so much information that they have on everybody.
Well, how much of a pain is, what is it, 11th Avenue, the store in Columbus?
Uh-huh. Yep.
How much of a pain is that sometimes? Because I feel like, well, what do you mean you don't have it here? You're Jags.
Well, yeah, you know, that building has about 1 million of inventory. And the big building, you know, in Delaware has, let's just say, 30 times that, if not more, at any one. So, you know, that's, we get asked a lot, you know, how come you guys don't have a rig on the road and all this? Well, you know, you can't satisfy everybody.
Yeah.
No. You can't possibly have every part.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't do it. So
you can.
So we'd rather focus on getting it in the customer's hands as quick as we can. And that's why we've got one DC. You know, we don't have three of them scattered around the country where you're going to place an order and for five things and one box is going to show up from one place and whichever box gets there first is going to trigger a phone call on where the other stuff is. You know, so it just kind of works out better, I think. But
you could satisfy everybody if you just filled the Jag support truck with 3195s. Yeah. I need a set of Big Bubbas. Where are Big Bubbas at?
Yeah. You know, they're not joking about the tire shortage thing at all. And I the only reason I say that is obviously I'm hearing a lot about it in the news and I'm also seeing it in our business, but when I went through the warehouse 3 weeks ago, I looked. I'm like, yeah, it looks like not as many tires as we normally have. 2 weeks. Now, I went through there Thursday. I'm like, where did all the tires go? You know? I mean, there's still a lot of tires. Don't get me wrong, but
they're getting smaller in size and in quantity.
I went and had my took my car to get its first oil change and tire rotation. I looked in the lot car dealership and it's practically empty. Yeah. I know like Chris Blair told me that they've got like 600 Chevy trucks sitting left of the track in St. Louis and they're all just waiting on a chip.
Yep.
That and seat foam. I read the other day that the RVs and the auto dealers or auto manufacturers are waiting on foam for the seat cushions.
That's crazy.
And chips are a problem. And yeah,
you know,
everything
steel.
Seems to be, everything seems to be out of stock right now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. The supply chain, when it gets disrupted, you don't think it's going to affect you, but it slowly does, you know, and our business has been on fire for the last year. I mean, if somebody would have told me that, you know, last year in March that our business would be up what it is. You know, A, I would have told them they're full of shit, and B, I would have known what they just had, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing, you know.
It's all so, that bracket racing advertising you guys are doing.
I would like to think that that's it.
Y'all need to keep supporting the bracket racers.
And we need to do stuff at Killcare, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on, man.
Why are we not? Why are you not at the Working Man's Hen Grand next week?
Listen,
this week.
I've got
him. Paige is there.
Paige is going. Paige is representing.
That's right.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
For one of these races, we just need to have a 25 second shopping trip through the warehouse. And you just can, whatever you can reach. Not what you can't hop on ladders.
You wouldn't want that. You'd rather want to go through the retail location.
They don't know that though.
We did that for a guy special make a wish thing. And I mean it wasn't like, you know, give him 30 minutes or anything, but I think like make a wish gave him like $2,500 and I think we doubled it or tripled it or whatever we did. And this guy was in heaven. I mean, it was just this cylinder head and this and that, you know, it was cool.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. I mean, that stuff's pretty neat, but But yeah, I mean, the business side of stuff is amazing. I mean, I think when people started not, when they weren't at work
and still getting money
and they're walking out tripping over the car that they need to finish in the garage, or their wife is saying, you know, you always said that you didn't have time to get this done. You know, you got some time now, you know.
So what do you think has driven growth at Jegs more, the Jegs logo, which has been so consistent and everywhere as you and I talked in Vegas, or the Jegs, the actual commercials that just that, I don't know what sticks in my brain more.
Is that Kepner?
No, it's a guy that's about 5'3". Sounds like he's huge, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's a little guy. Yeah, it's a guy here locally. He did it years ago. I don't even know if he can even do it anymore, but we've got the voice file. I do know that. Yeah.
It's funny because when he first started doing those commercials at the track and different things, you'd hear him, I'm kind of like, that's kind of goofy. I mean, really, you know, and I love Jegs even back then, but I'm kind of like, I don't know. It's grown on me to the point now where it's like when you just think of it. When I see the logo, I think of that voice doing that Jegs thing. It's just crazy how
the practice tree app.
There you go.
Yep.
They got the practice tree.
Yeah, like I'll be in Seattle and just I try and walk to the stage, walk up to the staging lanes most of the time, and you know, I'll have somebody Jegs. I'm like, we don't even freaking run ads here.
Yeah.
Don't have that for to.
Fact. You know, how do these guys know this? This is like, you know, I don't know. But it is the logo is very clear, very readable. You know, it's nice that it's short, you know. Mm-hmm. The colors came from the yellow and black came from Jeg Sr.'s father was a vice president at Lazarus Company, which is a big department store in Columbus, Ohio. And they had some big New York ad agency that asked him he asked him on a side note in a meeting, hey, if you're for speed, you know, what are the two colors that would go that are easily identifiable for a fast car? And they came back and they said yellow and black. So that's how we ended up with yellow and black.
Did any of the kids ever ask to paint their car a different color?
They have.
I guess that's a negative.
There's been a couple black with yellow.
Yeah. There's been a white one somewhere.
And the black one, that story comes up about two or three times a year. Jeg had a black dragster and was at Mount Vernon, and little Jeggy missed seeing his run because he was little.
J three?
Yeah, J3. And he says, I think Jeg said, so what'd you think? He's like, did you already run? I didn't see. I was looking for a yellow car.
Oh.
That was it. I mean, honest to God, that comes up at least twice a year in a meeting. You know, when somebody talks about wanting to change something or whatever. I think McKenna maybe puts a little bit of purple on something. Paige did a...
She did a yellow and pink car or something, or yellow, yeah, black, and pink.
Yeah, which was really cool.
I thought that was sharp.
Sweet. And we actually incorporated that into her dad's Pro Mod car too for October.
That Vegas, right?
Yep. Yeah. And you know, and I get it. And I'm the one that probably gets to start that conversation. And then I tell the parent, like, by the way, just so you know, this came up, you know, and then they can take it from there. Cause it's at the end of the day, it's their decision, not mine. So, but you know, every once in a while, some of the kids will sprinkle decals around the car and stuff. And you know, I can show on a piece of paper and say, which one's easier to read?
Yep.
You know, and they're like, that one. Well, why? It just looks cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I've definitely taken cues from my stuff. It's like from what you guys do. I mean, we talked about it in Vegas where, you know, I think you guys do an outstanding job of social media, advertising, all that kind of stuff. You kind of set a standard. So, but the clean logo is really the key, and the consistency of the color and the font and all those things.
Yeah. I want to know who the actors are in the commercial that we play out of the bracket races now. That's what I wanted to know.
Which one?
Where they're under the hood of some red car and all you can see is their feet and the back of their heads and just random people, random actors.
What color is the car?
I think it's red.
Yeah, maybe. Those are actors. I don't know who that was. We've been shooting some stuff in the shop lately in-house. It's turned out pretty cool. We had one where Santa was like took off. And
I do remember that. Who was saying that?
Drag pack. That was James Rowe. He did that. And then Zach actually did the video. I think he was in it. But, you know, that's a lot of that stuff's come about because J3's gotten involved.
And I did I see somewhere he made a few runs in a car somewhere?
No.
Or he might be, or he's thinking about it. I know he's coming around the business more often.
He's talked about it a couple of times. I mean,
hell of a golfer.
Oh, dude, I remember watching him play golf like when he first started on the West Coast swing with Jag and I. Jag would have him play like 100 yards out with us, and now he just freaking kicks our ass up and down. Like I can maybe go toe for toe with him on Golden Tee, and that's about it.
And for anybody who doesn't
know, I asked for strokes, and he's just not interested in giving them at all. That everybody starts at zero.
He's brutal.
And anybody that doesn't know,
your uncle talking to you, man. I need some strokes.
Yeah, J3 is Jake the Third, Jake Junior's son. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's a really good golfer. He was on the different tours, and I thought he was going to go pro at some point.
Yeah, and he just decided. You know, that was another one of those cool things. He called and said, "Hey, man, I'm thinking about giving up golf and just working in the business." I'm like, really? Said, "You're going to give up everything that you worked on and the dream that you had to play pro?" Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity here.
So I think so.
I'm like, yeah. And he kind of mapped out a plan on what he wanted to do and learned different departments and everything. He's a very good people person, and he's got a good head on his shoulders. You know, he's a lot like his dad in that manner. So.
Is he like as analytical as Jeg Jr. and as organized as Scott Woodruff?
He's probably not as organized as me, but as analytical as his dad for sure. No, it's like, I think when you hire somebody, and I know that this is against like all HR laws, period, but I think you should be able to go look in somebody's car. And know whether or not that they do you have pride? Do you keep your shit clean? Do you, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just me. I'm crazy like that though. I mean, I have like a water deionizer in my garage for my car.
I was going to ask you the last time you saw your car actually dirty for longer than the minute you stepped out of it.
Anywhere. At the airport, it just got shit all over last week. And Ron Erks was so funny because I fly out of the Akron Canton airport, and I think he was going down to someplace in the Keys or something. And I get this, he goes, "Hey, your car looks really nicer than that first spot all covered up, you know?" And so I sent him a picture of it, you know, with just bird shit all over the back, and it's white. I mean, it's just, and that's honestly, I got the ceramic coating done I got a CT4V. And it's all ceramic coating. And literally, I drove straight to like the coin wash, sprayed everything, came right off, rolled it in the garage, and then dried it off. And it was good.
So it's well worth the money.
Yeah. For me, for a freak like me, it is.
So, Woody, what's next on the agenda? What's the future hold for Jags and for Woody Woodruff?
Oh, man. I am. I think Jags has a bright future. I think you're going to see the Jags brand be more and more prominent in the restoration business. So we're going to have a lot of different body panels. And
that's been coming for a while, right? It's just hard to get suppliers and all that.
Yeah. We got a couple really cool lines that are going to come out that people are going to be really surprised about. I know we got a cool carburetor coming out that I saw Thursday.
Bring that to Killcare with you this weekend.
Yeah, I think there's only one, but I think I won't be at Killcare this weekend. I'd love to go. I got to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, the last one.
Yep, yeah. The last one there.
That's all right.
For more growth ahead, the kids, the younger generation starting to move up. Obviously, J3 is trying to get in the business. Are those kids looking to push the uncles out?
I don't know about push them out, but I don't think any of them really want the corner office at this point. But they would like
good from afar, but not so much when you get close to it and you see all the stress.
No, I think It's in the blood, you know. I mean, you'd be surprised. The dinner table conversations that took place in the 70s and the 80s with Jeg Sr.'s four boys are pretty close to what goes on now, you know. You know, I think the e-commerce world, I think we'll get to the point where we won't even print a catalog anymore.
I was going to ask that, if you are still doing a lot of those, because
we're definitely doing less of them.
They got to be expensive as hell.
They're very expensive. I mean, you know, years ago, there were the two largest expenses that we had were printing and shipping. So shipping still ranks number one. But, you know, I think the business will grow. I think the brand will grow. I think we'll reach out into different areas that we've kind of dabbled in a little bit and kind of just move into it a little bit more aggressively. As far as me, you know, I'm pretty much a workaholic, so I don't see anything changing for me. So I've had opportunities to do other things and just have always turned it down. And, you know, there's a great bond between me and the family and the business. And it's something I take very seriously. But we also have fun doing it, you know, and that's what I call the Jegs way. You know, we work hard and play hard. So.
Yeah, it seems like you're part of the family anyway. I mean, you're so ingrained in that.
Family. You guys, I know I showed Gary, but I don't know if you see this ring.
Yep.
Jeggy had this made for me, his dad and his brothers. And each time that there's a family champion, another diamond gets added on the side. So
that's going to be a heavy hand.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to get heavier, though.
Yeah.
It's running out of spots. But so TJ's got some work to do, yeah, along with Paige and a couple others. So, but I think, I think it's just, you know, I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in and to have the trust that I have. You know, I treat money like it's mine. And, you know, it's just fun. I don't look at it as a job. I guess it's more of a lifestyle, you know.
Eric is very popular now. Imagine if Sam wanted to go racing full time, how popular that would be, because she is incredible.
Yeah.
She doesn't care. Nothing. I mean, I think it was, what did she do? Semi or runner up the U.S. Nationals, or did she win? She runnered up, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I was walking past her at the ready line and she's just sitting there like this. Like, hurry up, come on, let's go, let's get this over with. And I'm just like, I wish I could be that cool, you know?
Yeah. I'm normally like the comedian in the group. I'm the one that's trying to get everybody laughing and having fun and not think about the position that they're in, to be honest. But each one of them are different, you know? Like, I mean, I shut Jeg's door always when he was just getting ready to put it in first, you know, and I do the same thing now with TJ, you know.
Yep.
And there are certain things that I can do with TJ that, you know, that I know will pump him up when he needs pumped up, just like his uncle or his dad's, or his dad and his uncles, I should say. So that stuff's pretty neat. You know, I think watching Carly and a junior dragster is just going to freak Jeg out. I'm serious. Like,
is it electric junior?
It's dialed down right now, I think, to go 15 miles an hour, and that's it.
Wow. It's electric, right?
It's electric, yeah.
That's how much, I mean, how cool is that? Even if it doesn't work worth a crap, all of the PR that rises, I want one. I want to try one.
We were at a test session a couple years ago, and Clay had his, Mike's son Clay had his junior there. And we got done with all the serious tests. And I said, hey, when are we going to race? He's like, you don't have a car. I'm like, I got this rental car right here. Yeah, but you don't have a helmet. I said, I can go to the tower and get a helmet. Don't worry. They're not going to have your size. I said, I'll fit in a helmet. Don't worry. And we ended up racing side by side, did a fun video. It's probably on YouTube someplace. But the first time, I mean, he went by me at 300 feet like I was standing still. And then he spotted me to the 330 and he still fucking beat me, you know? And then he pulls off down the track and he's like waiting for me. And I just get up next to him and like getting ready to say something to him. And then goes up, stops again. like, you little shit.
The Emmons family has one of the Electric Juniors, and I'm up there, and my kids running them in time trials, and I got my back to them, and of course it's getting close to starting, so you got to look over, make sure they're ready. I turn around and look at the kid, and there's just a kid standing behind the car, and I look at him like he's ready, and he just looks at me and shrugs his shoulder like, "Never you're ready." And I go to crank, and he flips a switch. That was all he did. I'm like, "What the hell is this?" But those things are causing quite a stir because they're consistent and they're starting to win and people are running them. And now it's like, well, you know, the gas powered cars are not as consistent and can't compete. But I don't know, maybe the future.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty consistent. I think it's not as an intimidating vehicle for some kids, just with the noise. But you know, I don't know.
Well, whose idea was that?
Jeg Senior's. Yeah. I mean, that was like his pet project a couple of years ago. And then we were going to take – then he's like, we got to get a dragster. We got to go 200. We got to beat Garlitz, blah, blah, blah. Got to do this before him. And it's like – so I'm talking to the tech department and trying to figure out really where is Don in the loop on this and how far along is he, and called Daryl Gwynn and talked to him for a while about it. And then I think a couple weeks later found out that he did hit 200.
I think he went like 201 or something. And then he's like, oh, well, now we're going for 300.
Woo. You have to get a lot more batteries.
Yeah, it gets heavier. Batteries. Every tenth is,
It's a pretty neat – piece, though. I mean, if you knew that your child was going to start and was going to continue down that path, there's no doubt in my mind that that's the cheapest way to go.
Yeah, your investment's a little much, but over time, it's actually a lot cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just that first bite is a big bite.
Yeah,
sure.
No,
and to be honest, you don't really know if a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old or 9-year-old. I mean, are they going to stick with it? You know, it's kind of a roll of dice.
No, I just got done having a conversation about y'all's Electric Juniors this weekend. And I guess the state of Oklahoma has more than any other state does. There's about 6 or 7 of them. Yeah. And there's parents already calling for them to have their own class. Because I know at Ardmore, the last race I worked there as track manager, I almost missed the junior dragster final because I couldn't hear them.
That's a nice sound not to hear those things.
Yeah,
pop, 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 pop. I tell my kid every time, I said, what's the most annoying sound in drag racing? And he just looks at me and I go, you're stinking junior.
My car, Dad.
He thinks it sounds good. He likes it. But
yeah, he will until he gets in big car. Then he'll hate him too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. He's a year away. 13 months and he's 16. So
is he ready?
Oh, he's ready today. He's already trying to figure out which track will let us make some test hits in it. So
yeah, I mean, he's ready. Anywhere in Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I told him. We'll have to sneak off somewhere.
Oh, yeah. We had a 14-year-old win a 50K in Alabama for sure.
True too. No way.
Yes, sir. Yes. And swap cars in the semis because it's broke.
Yeah.
fire jacket, a helmet, a neck collar, and basketball shorts.
Nice.
For 50 grand.
Yeah, the South, there's no rules.
Yeah, not down.
But if you start at Tennessee and end at Florida, in between there, you're good.
Well, Woody, we've kept you way longer than I told you would. We appreciate you coming on. We didn't even talk about the Jeg's All-Star, which is something else that you guys really do for the sportsman racers. I appreciate that. That's a huge thing for the NHRA sportsman racers, and then obviously supporting the bracket races. Big money stuff, and maybe future working man's 10 grand sounds like. And we really appreciate everything y'all do.
The guy ever picks up the phone and no.
If I follow the rules and send him what he wants in the email, I just look at that. I'm like, that's
me. What do you mean? That's you don't have a form.
Woody says, hey, I just need this from you. I'm like, man, I could tell he's way more organized than I am because I'm not that organized.
Here, I'll show you this. This is like, see all these calendars?
Yeah, no. Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even own a calendar.
This has got – these are all the events for – wait a minute. Where's my hand? Yeah, right there. This is everything. So
– oh, my gosh.
That's January to June. This is June to April. And April to December.
He's way too organized, people.
I just want to be like the cool kids, Woody. That's all.
Yeah. Woody, I got – look, here's my calendar. This is how I run Drag Champ. It's a notebook. Hey,
you know what?
That's all I got.
As long as you stick to the same system, it's your system and it works, you know. Yeah.
So far, it's done all right.
Don't use 25% of each of our ideas. Stick to yours.
What do they call a med student that graduates with a D-?
I don't know.
A doctor. Doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah, don't talk. I talked to my daughter today. She's up at Trine University, and I said, "So, how's school going?" "Oh, it's going good." I said, "Well, how are your grades?" "They're all good except for one." I said, "Well, what do you mean? Which one?" She says, "Well, I'm getting a D in PR."
I'm like, "Oh, no.
Are you serious?" Like, "Yeah, I forgot to turn in a paper and I didn't do a report." I'm like,
I'm so disappointed.
I'm just like bummed. I haven't even told my wife yet. I'm not going to tell her, but
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Could you fail like, you know, math or something? I mean, it's one of those soft subjects, but PR?
Yeah. I think she failed gym or something because she got hurt. She's a figure skater and she wasn't able to skate for the final or whatever. It went in one ear and out the other to me. But when I heard PR and D, I'm like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough to have me take your car away. That's still in my name.
Just one last thing before I've got a couple of questions for you. You were obviously widely popular on the NHRA side of things. You're being more and more visible pretty much by the event and the bracket racing side week in and week out, just you as a person, people learning your capacity with JAGS and all that. Is that always different for you whenever you have to go to a different market and people will be like, "Oh, you're Woody. Oh yeah."
Well, it's interesting. Like the guys, that comes up, or like when we're at a race, if I'm up in my line, like I've got an office in one of Richard's trailers and all the guys on the team know if somebody comes over and asks for Scott Woodruff, then they don't know Woody.
Yep.
So if somebody comes over and says, "Hey, is Woody around?" "Yeah, he's right up there."
Yep.
Going in. Now you know, formally the bracket racing stuff and Jeggy just asked me to just take it over. So we had one person doing everything.
we had one person doing everything.
No, I didn't mean it like that. It is a lot easier to understand because when we start going through on what money's being spent where, and, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, we did this," or, "Oh yeah, yeah, we did this." And so now it's all organized. So I think that's kind of why I got thrown in.
I've got some ending questions, but I'll let these guys step in if they want to have anything else to say.
I'm interested in what you have. I'm good.
All right. So obviously we're taking your favorite out of the equation. This is where we stir up a little bit of business because none of them are ever going to listen to this. John, Mike, or Troy Sr.?
Four.
Just pick one.
Mike.
Which grandkid?
Clay.
Clay, well, that was a good one. That wouldn't be my first choice.
Yeah,
if I was guessing. And you is the guy that ran Will Call? Is he still there?
Andy Hendricks,
the guy that's been there forever.
Andy Hendricks, yeah.
Other than him, who's your favorite employee in the warehouse?
Probably Rick. His name's on every freaking package.
Hey, we didn't ask one other question. If you're doing favorites, favorite class.
My favorite class is comp.
And
oh, wow.
If you were going to drive.
My wife, right now, she heard that, she'd be MFing me because she's big into super stock.
If you were going to drive any car upstairs, which one would you want to drive the most?
Definitely one of the pro stock cars. I just want to do a burnout. I don't even want to put it in reverse. If I actually kept it off the walls, I would consider that a win.
I know it was like, you know, the other team, but Dallas Glenn said that was the best part about his job was they got to take the pro stock chassis outside of the shop and just burn tires in. He said that was the best part of the job.
Best thing that ever happened to them having a fire was having that car still. Yep. Yeah. Because you wouldn't do anything else with it.
Yeah. Woody, it's been great, buddy. And, have fun in Atlanta and enjoy the last bumpy ride down Commerce.
Now I know why, you know, it's I'm on the pro board, and we've been trying to get him to redo some stuff at the track, and it became abundantly clear at the beginning of the year that that wasn't going to happen, and now it's no wonder. But I don't know. That place has kind of gone downhill, so it's there's probably too many. I think there's too many national events. We need to get to like 16, 18, and
yep, you're knocking them off. No more Joliet. No more. Right now, no more Bristol, but I think that I've heard rumblings that's going to change, but the track's got to quit sinking over the tunnels.
Yeah,
that's rough.
What happens when you put a hole in the ground underneath the track? Yeah. Doesn't matter where, if it's in the desert or in the mountains, it's still the same outcome.
Yeah, but I've saw firsthand, you know, whenever Pacemakers was trying to stay around what you guys did for them, and you guys had a huge part in making Columbus 1,000 times better than what it was, so thank you for that. I know that on the driver and racer side of that, that's very well received and very appreciated.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. The JJ and Jay are doing awesome. I mean, you couldn't ask for guys with more passion to take that place over and put it back the way that it used to be, you know?
Yeah, it was.
That's what gets frustrating is, like, you know, I remember, you know, you go back. I remember the Winston days, you know. I remember the way that it was and the way that it should be and the way that it can be, you know. Yep. And that's part of my drive, you know.
So. Before those guys came in there, I remember driving through the staging lanes. I'm like, holy hell, this is the worst I have ever felt in my race car. I'm driving through the staging lanes.
Try bottoming out the junior dragster there.
Yeah, I think I actually scraped the transmission pan in my car because one of the drainage pipes or something they had where it sank around it. And then I went down the racetrack and I'm like, it got worse.
Yeah. We used to not go out there and test for that reason. Now we'll go out there and test again. But they got a lot of good plans for that place, and you know, don't rule it out. There could be a national event there at some point. So.
Again, we just need a little more shutdown.
Yes.
A little bit. We got tired of sending cars off the end.
I mean, it's a cool sign. I want that sign to track bad. I tell you that much. I mean, how many people have a dragster crossing sign?
Yeah.
I had one from the Memorial Tournament on the 15th hole. It said, caution, balls in flight. And so in college, I had that above my bed.
Have you tried to put that above your headboard at home yet?
No.
Okay.
No chance.
That would go up in the garage. That's about as far as that's going to make it in the house.
The garage is also immaculate, but we'll leave that for episode number 2 in the wintertime. We don't have anything else to talk about when we have Woody back on here. So
perfect.
Have a good evening, or a good almost morning now, and keep doing what you're doing. We all appreciate it.
No, but thank you very much. So. Keep doing what you're doing. Have fun. Follow your passion and just go for it.
I'm trying to quit. Nobody will let me.
Nope.
Nobody likes a quitter.
See you, Woody.
See you guys.
I could have talked to him for 4 more hours.
Yeah, he's a good guy. We caught up in Vegas, and literally I said hi, and next thing I know, we've been sitting there like 45 minutes and neither one of us had shut up. And we just talked about completely different things than we were talking about tonight. He's a good guy. Jags does a ton for the sport, so. That's pretty cool.
He's kind of like one of those guys, you just tee him up and just let him talk. Like Gleghorn is just listening. Gleghorn, yes. For anybody that doesn't know, Gleghorn is actually in these episodes. He's just mostly laughing and a lot of times on mute.
Yeah.
And the F-bombs were dropped without him tonight. No. So that was good. We didn't even need you for the entertainment factor.
Do you need to squeeze one in?
Fuck.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
No. All right. It's been really, really long episode, but if y'all have anything to talk about, we could do it now. Otherwise, I'm bailing.
Ryan, you first.
We'll
start with the bad and end with the good.
Oh,
oof.
What was bad?
I guess. I mean, we didn't have as many cars we wanted to this last weekend, but you know, we didn't send cars down the rain either. No, got back from Baton Rouge this morning. CP and the gang, we put on a good race. Not a whole lot of people got to see it. I feel bad for them, but you know,
the bad part for me was the part that was an incredible format. It was genius.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and no, it's a great format. It's just, and we've spoke about this before, there's just so many fucking races right now. And I don't know. There's going to come to a point that people are going to quit trying and it's going to get better. But right now, I mean, everyone's – it seems like there's one every week.
It was just sad to see, like, Cody was probably one of the first guys to take a leap in that area and say, hey, I'll put on a race for you guys. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And for the lack of entries he had, I thought that was kind of a real smack in the mouth. But that was just the bad side, I think, is you're right. It's just too much. It's too busy. And there was just too many options. Points racing started to kick up. So everybody that, you know, was not trying to get out of the house for the winter, they're okay with going points racing right now, or their stuff's not done yet.
Well, I'd heard every track in Texas had a race last weekend too. It seemed like all the West Texas tracks, San Antonio, you had Extreme, you had, I mean, there were so many places. I don't know what was going on in Louisiana, but
yeah,
to run those kind of events, you got to pull from a little bit bigger area than just that local area.
Yeah. And I think we're getting to a point, you know, we've had this discussion before too. 5-10 years ago, you know, you put on 3-10s, everybody was coming because 10s were a big deal. Now, 10s aren't big enough for the people to travel to, but they're big enough to scare off the locals. They don't feel like they're competitive. So I don't know what the formats are going to look like going forward. But, you know, like we've talked about before, you know, 5s and 10s are going to be coming back. Are supposed to be, you know, the new thing. You know, the week before, Cummins had 20, 25, 20 at I-30 and only had like 110 cars.
Yep.
I mean, it's not their fault. They promoted the fuck out of it. You know, a little bit of weather, and I don't know where the mindset of the average bracket racer's at right now. I mean, everyone seems like everyone's holding on to their money a little bit.
Well, I think there's so much choice at that 10 and 20, you know, in a way. Plus, you've got all your local races, and you've got, I mean, pretty much right now, I can pretty much race anywhere I want to every weekend within 4 hours of my house, you know, and you can go big money racing, local bracket racing. You can do pretty much whatever you want. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's tough to draw enough to pay the 10s and 20s right now, because you're going to have a bigger field. And if you have the weather issues or something else, or there's other races drawing, it just makes it tough.
Yeah. I mean, Bowling Green had a 5-grander yesterday, and it had 204 entries in Super Pro. So the cars are there, and there's people that want to race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the bigger money is what people are looking for now. I don't know.
I think I'm happy with the 10s format.
No, the 10s format's working out really well for you. But also, it's also a different demographic, too. You're up north.
Oh, yeah. It is 1,000% different.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much having the first big money race in Ohio this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, so
everyone is gung fucking ho ready to go in
North Carolina to Missouri to Michigan to Northern Illinois and Chicago. They're coming from everywhere supposedly. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Virginia.
It looks like you're going to have a massive crowd this weekend.
Well, I could tell you, I said it last week, I think, but based on the post we're doing for you, Jake, and the social media response, you should have a really big crowd this week.
Did we announce juniors?
Oh, really? Why are you doing that?
Well, it honestly boils down to this. I want to say 15 to 20 people call or text me or Ron Vance, which is the track manager at Kilcare, and said, hey, we want to come this weekend, but there's another track that's scheduled on top of you, you know, earlier in the year. They're having juniors. And we just want to go race with our kids. We want our kids to be able to race too. So I told Ron, I was like, that's fine. I said, how many juniors can we really have? And me saying this now, I hope it doesn't come back and smack me in the mouth.
147 juniors go down the racetrack round number one.
But we've got
– there's a curfew.
I'm telling you, we've got like people – everybody wants to hop on board with this junior deal. Like, I announced there was going to be 1,000 to win, 500 to runner up, or 250 to runner up, or something, and $100 in semis. And it was cheap. It was like $40 in or $20 buyback. I got a phone call like 5 minutes after I sent that idea out. Fuck that. Here's $1,000 more to throw into that. Then just before this, Lucas Walker calls me. Hey, I'm going to pay back to the quarters $50 a piece. And then somebody else called and said, hey, I'm going to pay all of the junior kids' buybacks for Saturday and Sunday. I'm like,
oh shit, dude.
I'm like, we've got a free 5-grander. And we've got juniors. Okay.
And you got a curfew.
Yeah, but you know, I honestly think after last year, we started 10:30 in the morning. We had a midnight curfew, gave everybody a time run. and had almost 400 cars on the property. And
yeah,
had
but
a
you 30, didn't have junior dragsters.
And had well, had a 32 bike shootout, which takes just as long.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we ran the final at 11:59.
Yeah, but you still got some of these junior parents that think they're top fuel crew chiefs, and they got to take 5 minutes to set the idle on one of these things. I have yet to figure that crap out.
Here's the thing: I will walk up and turn it off and say, "You go."
Because plus, they don't start them as soon as the other ones go take our stage up. They wait, and then you know, you could have run them a little quicker.
No, they will. We've got Smokey in the water box this weekend.
Oh gosh, you got them all the way up to go to Kilcare.
Smokey will be en route Thursday night. If nobody on this side of the world has met Smokey yet,
there will not be a
water box issue.
No, your water box is going to be pristine at Kilcare this weekend.
All right. So my take on the whole racing and entries and all this stuff is you got to give a customer what they want. And whatever that is, you got to figure it out as a business owner, whether that's me with Drag Champ or Woody and Jegs, and are you guys as race promoters, you got to figure out what people want and adjust and go do it.
Well, on the same token, you can't say that the people wanted to go to XRP for bigger money because we had a 128 car shootout. We ran with 62 cars. So it didn't fill either place if you look at it, the main events. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they wanted bigger money or less money, but we had 309 cars go down first round Saturday. That's 213 top, 84 no E, and however it works out, 12 juniors or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's the money. I mean, it's amazing.
That was just definitely like location.
Look at your race last year, the Windmill Nationals last year, 500 cars. You know, Jake had you had 300 and something cars at your race last year for
368.
How much does Summit get at their weekly bracket race? I mean, you know, sometimes it's not the money. I think there's just more to it. It's timing. It's weather. It's what else has been around. You know, if you just ran Cole Cummins' race 2 weeks ago and then you're going to drive to State Capitol and race again, maybe that's too much on top of each other. And so sometimes that proximity of other races and then just, you know, what's the experience? Can I get the kind of fun 2 hours from home instead of driving six? I don't know.
And I'll be that guy, but I think there is a lot to be said on, yes, promoting is a thing, but how it is promoted is 1,000% the difference maker.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a total package for sure. And obviously Cody has done, and, you know, he stepped out there with the big series this year and obviously trying to put on some really good races, and you really want to see him succeed and be supported for that. So, but like I said, there's a lot of races and a lot of choice right now. And unfortunately, that means that not every race is going to be a home run. So I hate to see that, though.
Well, pray for me. I don't know if Leghorn's coming. Fine. Are you coming?
Well, about to have a conversation about that right after we get off here. So the dragster is supposed to get picked up next weekend. I think we have ourselves a buyer. I'm not going to get too worked up about it yet. I think we have a buy. So we were talking about going to Memphis this weekend and running their points race. But I don't know. I didn't realize how early it starts. So that's a big factor in my life is I don't like to get up at 30 to go run a bracket race for $800. I don't know what we're going to do yet.
You don't like to get up at 6:30 for anything.
No, especially not to go do that. So I would love to be in Kilcare this weekend. And if it had everything my way, that's how it'd go. But we're going to see. You know, Tara does have to sacrifice a lot of racing to follow this traveling circus I've got. So
I'll make it simple. Just bring the dragster.
Just bring the dragster to Kilcare.
Put it on a flatbed.
Oof.
Nice.
No, we have it enclosed. It'd be fine. Will the enclosed make it all the way to Kilcare? Will this motorhome make it all the way to Kilcare is a bigger question. Yeah. But I think it's going to be good this weekend. Also, I just want to know how you're going to pick the people for in-car cameras this weekend.
They got to do something cool.
Oh,
I need wheelies or fast or somebody that's holding a tent.
Sounds good.
Anything else? Ryan alluded to sending cars down in the rain. Friday, obviously, there was a mishap at XRP. And it's one of those things, like it wasn't raining on the starting line. It wasn't raining on the EMTs. all morning long. It kind of just had that like spit, like every 10 minutes you'd feel it hit the back of your neck. Like nothing to worry about. It was supposed to rain in the afternoon. Well, apparently something had happened about 300 feet. Cause in the video, you can see both guys do wheelies, leave just fine. And 300 feet, they both kind of sashay to the right. One guy corrects it and kind of maybe taps the wall a little bit. And the guy on the left just T-bones him and pinches him against the wall. And both of them are very experienced, well-accomplished racers. And they said, if it was raining, we wouldn't have staged the cars. Plain and simple. So it is on my conscience. I stopped and talked to James and I said, you know, I honestly would have never sent you guys down ever if I was in any question whatsoever. And I had just told the track employees like, hey, you know, it's been spitting all morning like this. I don't know if you guys are feeling it, but it's literally just every now and then you'll just feel one drop, not a mist, not a sprinkle, just every now and then. And they're like, oh no, we're not under the awning. This is why we're out here. We're standing outside the awning just to feel for it. And not even two pairs later, it happens. Mm. I'm just like, oh no. So yeah, that's how it went down. That's what happened. And for what it's worth, I have the guilt of that. So
that is also true.
Have a good weekend. See you guys at Kill Care.
What a note to leave on.
We won't be racing in the rain.
No.